Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Kremlin responding to the written response from NATO in these last hours. The Kremlin chooses to summarize a conversation between the president of Russia, Mr. Putin, and the president of France, Mr. Macron. Quote, attention was drawn in the conversation to the fact that U.S. and NATO answers did not take into account such fundamental Russian concerns as the prevention of NATO enlargement. That is a statement from the Kremlin. To interpret this, and the headline in the Financial Times that accompanies that quotation, Putin says U.S. has not met Russian demands over Ukraine, is Brandon Weichert. Brandon is writing most recently at the Asia Times about this crisis that is ongoing and will continue over these next days, about Ukraine and Europe looking at what right now looks to be Russian aggression. What is to be done? Brandon, I'm keen on your interpretation of the remark from Mr. Putin, summarized by his spokespeople. I understand that this is not a direct quotation. In a conversation with France. Why? Because NATO is facing the Russian Federation. NATO is deploying its troops in standby across the vast landscape. The U.S. is reinforcing NATO, if I understand the Biden administration. And yet, France talked to Moscow. Is this a separate piece? Is this Mr. Putin looking for leverage in the NATO leadership? Good evening to you, Brandon.
Well, good evening, John, and thank you for having me on this very solemn occasion. The answer to your question is yes. I think that Putin is looking for leverage. There have been some reports out of places like the Atlantic Council that Putin may have bitten off more than he could chew. I'm not quite certain about that, but I do think that President Putin has been very clear. He will not allow for Ukraine, which he considers to be an essential part of Russia's defensive perimeter on their west, he will not allow for it to fall into the Western alliance. And this has been an ongoing fight since 2014, since the Crimea invasion. And so I think right now what Putin's trying to do is look for those sort of cracks in the Western alliance. He's finding them. President Biden, from the time he was inaugurated, one of the first things that Putin said about Biden publicly was he intimated that Biden was not all there mentally. And this has been a key theme that's played throughout Russian media for the last year. Putin has certainly been trying to put pressure on Biden and show the Americans, the world, that the Americans are weak. While at the same time, as America looks weak, Putin is then putting pressure on France and Germany in particular to sort of break them away from the herd of the West and get them to do these separate deals, all while Poland, another very powerful player, being a former Soviet state, wants nothing to do with Russia. And they're banging the drum saying, hey, we need more NATO forces in our part of the world. We need more Americans. So what's going on now is these divisions are being brought to the fore because Putin has perfectly timed this pressure campaign over Ukraine to match with what he thinks, and I think he might be right, is a very weak Biden administration. And we're seeing this play out with really devastating effects. The American position is not tenable. And as I argued at the Asia Times, my concern is that Russia may have checkmated us on the matter of Ukraine.
The history of this starts probably in the late Cold War, yep, when Mr. Gorbachev and the Soviet Union failed and Mr. Yeltsin took over the Russian Federation. But you go to a moment in your Asia Times piece that's equally profound. This is 2004, the so-called Orange Revolution, in which Mr. Putin reacted very badly to what he believed was falsehoods practiced by the Americans. What happened? Can you summarize it for us, Brandon?
essentially, Putin and most of the Russian leadership, including the Boris Yeltsin pro-American liberal wing, believe they had an understanding with the Americans. Gorbachev did as well, that Ukraine would be allowed to be an independent country and would be a democracy, but it wouldn't be part of NATO. And NATO would not expand that far. But then 2004 happens. George W. Bush is the president. He's surrounded by neoconservative ideologues who believe spreading democracy is key. And we're on the high of having knocked out Saddam Hussein, and everyone's wondering where the next American democratic crusade will be. And then all of a sudden, the Americans are believed to have at least tacitly supported the so-called Orange Revolution, which was an attempt to kick out the pro-Russian government and replace it with a more pro-Western, pro-American government. Vladimir Putin, at that point, when he was watching these events unfold on his television screen at his dacha, he stood up and apparently told a small group of advisors, the Americans, George W. Bush, they all lied to me, and I can never trust them again. And from that moment on, Russian foreign policy toward the West, toward NATO, specifically over Ukraine, hardened. They never went back from that position. 2008 rolls around, Putin invades Georgia, which, you know, the NATO people were saying might become part of NATO as well. He doesn't like that. And then 2014 rolls around and Putin starts invading Crimea and starting this fight in the eastern Donbass.
Let's go to another president. This is President Zelensky of Ukraine. In the same Financial Times, summarizing where we are at the end of a hectic week, Mr. Zelensky, talking to a press conference, says, "We do understand what the risks are. We do not see a bigger escalation. We don't need this panic." Mr. Zelensky is indicating that he believes that the Russian invasion is not at hand, that he believes that the statements by Mr. Lavrov and others, "We're not going to invade, we're not going to attack," he believes those statements. So are we witnessing something that's not real based upon the NATO's anxiety for all of its other states, not Ukraine?
That is a possibility, but, and he certainly, Zelensky is on the front line, so he sees it daily, but there's also a bit of, I think, a problem because the Russians have amassed a very large force there, and they have been amassing that for a year, and they can continue to do so. And if they think, my fear is that if Russia thinks that the West is not going to respond, or that the West is not going to respond in a way they want, which we can't respond, because the Russians won't settle for anything less than basically a removal of NATO elements from Eastern Europe, we're not going to be able to do that. So my fear is that Putin, actually, this is one big deception, and that he is going to invade. He has until the end of February before that ice starts to melt in Ukraine, and that makes him passable for the tanks. But he also has May and June. So even if the tanks don't come in at the end of February, like Biden and some of the administration are fearful of, Putin can still ramp up his forces, and he's been doing that since last spring. And remember, it's believed that the only reason that Putin didn't invade last April was because the snow melted too early. That's not the case now. And it is my contention that between what Russia has currently amassed off the border of Ukraine and all of their private military contractors they've moved into the area, I think they probably have enough to go into eastern Ukraine and really mess up the eastern Ukrainians. So I don't know if Zelensky's right on this one. I think Zelensky's trying to cool things down because he senses there's a divide in Europe. He's trying to keep everything together. And also, Ukraine's economy is going to crash, which actually could be the whole point of this Russian move, to crash the Ukrainian economy.
Final puzzle, 30 seconds on France. Macron is going to continue dialogue with the Russian president, we're told in this Financial Times report. Keep the dialogue on the whole range of European security issues. Is Macron someone who can solve this by himself? 30 seconds.
Absolutely not. The Germans and the French are completely blinkered. I do think the Germans and the French are understandably correct that they can't rely on the Americans and they don't want to see a war in Europe, but they cannot trust Putin and they're not big enough to really get much done with Putin, and Putin knows it.
Brandon Weikert, writing at the Asia Times, commenting on the latest we have from the diplomats in Europe at the end of frantic week. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.